Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
So today we've got a guest about returning from one of our shows before covering the Zodiac. And so we want to welcome Drew Beeson. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me back.
So, Drew, what's going on? Have you had your Lysol shot yet, or?
No, but I have an appointment at, later this afternoon to get my Lysol in me.
Wow.
Never hurt, but if I, so hopefully I wanted to do this first just in case I had a bad reaction to it.
Yeah.
I wonder if you spray Lysol on a tanning bed, you'd get UV and Lysol at the same time, and you could kind of...
You might be onto something.
Yeah. There's a new business. It's called the Trump Suntanning. Oh, I'm terrible. So Drew, what's going on with Zodiac? Is there some new events? Of course, Gary Stewart's been on TV, that documentary or series or whatever you want to call it, which, for me, I think it made Stewart look kind of sad.
To say the least.
He did. It made him look desperate. It really did. But at least the show this time included some evidence against, which was pretty solid. Obviously, he talked about the Mikado and how his father would have been exposed to that over in Japan. And it was banned over there, of course, because it was seen as crude satire to them. So that couldn't happen. I mean, just little things like that. It's easy to pick apart Earl Bambes Jr. It just is.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have much at all going for him.
That's really too bad, too. I mean, because I've interviewed him before, and how I came out of it was actually after this show, I've seen these four parts or whatever it was, I kind of felt sorry for him. I he seemed so broken apart about his father and the disconnect and all that. He feels, I think that's genuine emotion. I'm not thinking that it's put on. I think he's really, which is
the rest is a put on though.
Well, I think it's probably a grab for control. Like it's like the people running out buying toilet paper when the virus started, right? It was just this, we had to control.
Analogy.
Yeah, well, we have to control something in our life because we feel so lost, and. And if you feel that way, we do things. People do things with their weight or food or alcohol. And I think this was another one. I think that's just his. He wants it to be that. What he says. It's so badly that he will do anything, believe anything. Like he's just so obsessed with it, and it's it's really about, you know, his disconnect with his father. It's just, it's kind of sad in a way.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. I mean, I know the book was actually an interesting read that people liked. I mean, even if they didn't believe, you know, that Earl Van Best Jr. was the Zodiac, they kind of liked his whole story about, you know, finding his real father and, you know, this different things about him and, you know, finding his real mother. And, you know, I think they, you know, the readers, I think, did kind of like that. But it's, you know, for somebody that's looking for the true Zodiac killer, I think they were pretty heavily led astray there.
Well, you know, I remember when I went to go see the movie Zodiac in 2007. And afterwards, I remember we were standing by the door and someone came out and they said, you know, that movie was pretty good until that cartoonist showed up. And that's Robert Graysmith. And of course, exactly. The book, Gary Stewart's book, is an interesting read until that Zodiac stuff shows up. It would be a good book without that. And I think it would be a very compelling story. But I think that kind of symbolizes what's wrong with Gary Stewart's whole story, is the way that he sort of veers off on this tangent with his father and just goes off the deep end with it. And that's disturbing. The one thing that I liked about the show was that instead of doing it like we're going to attack him from the very beginning or discredit him from the very beginning, they let him tell his story. And then they just had people come on and tell the facts. And I think that is the one thing that documentary should be commended for. I was in it in part three, and I said, you know, there's nothing to this. And it was great that the fourth episode backed that up.
Yeah, it was good that they did that. They did an excellent job. It's really well produced.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how a lot of documentaries should sort of, I think, run, right? You know, you should show as many points of view and aspects. But, you know, for me, it was a bit long. They drug it out too long. I mean,
And they were all consecutive too, I think, right? I mean, I remember they were kind of back to back instead of, you know, two, you know, 1 hour, one night.
Which was good because after episode two, I started to get a little worried. that it was gonna, you know, those of us who do these shows, we often don't know how they're going to turn out. And we were told, no, we're going to be critical of this. And so I was very refreshed and pleased to see that it took that turn because, unfortunately, Gary Stewart's theory has a lot of prevalence. A lot of people believe it. And I was shocked to see after the show aired on Facebook, on his Facebook page, some of his friends congratulating him for solving the case. And I looked, and they said they watched the show. So I was like, what are you talking
about?
What part
did you miss? Yeah, the scar was wrong, and then he's watching TV to look for the genetic codes from that was on TV. I mean, that was sad. I mean, it was desperate.
Very revealing.
I mean, looking at the blurred out screen on a TV show to look for the genetic codes, that's a new one.
But it kind of shows the desperation, and that's kind of what I mean. I feel sorry for him because, like I said, I don't think it's fake. I think his emotions and all that with it, it's pretty real. And
I believe that too. I think he does have some real hangups with, you know, maybe his childhood and what, you know, finding out about his father.
Well, you know,
I wouldn't want to find out that my father was the Zodiac. I mean, it's like an inside joke around Zodiac. People are like, oh, I'm sure your dad was the Zodiac. Your dad was D.B. Cooper, right? You know, no.
You know what it reminded me of?
It's always someone's father.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Annie Hall, Woody Allen's movie Annie Hall, but there's a great scene in it where they're standing in line at the movie, and this guy starts going off about Marshall McLuhan and the media expert, and he starts saying all these things, and Woody Allen walks off camera and comes back with Marshall McLuhan, and Marshall McLuhan says, "You know nothing of my work." And that's what that whole show was kind of like. It was like, here's 3 hours of you telling your story, and then here's people going, you know nothing of what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of – but I don't think it's going to end anytime too soon. I think Steve Hodell's been doing really well with his series on the Zodiac, and I think we're sort of stuck with that kind of logic right now.
The daddy did it syndrome.
Yeah. Well, people buy into it because I know, like I said, when I was out and about before the virus, and Paramount did that other series, remember, with the John Cameron.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and but people will come up to me because they know I write crime and all that, and they'll say, "Oh, so they figured it out. So that guy was the guy, right?" And
mm-hmm.
So people walk away from these series really buying into it. You know, it's not.
No, they do. The same thing happened in the D.B. Cooper case when a guy, you know, put out a really well produced show called The Last Master Outlaw about a guy named Robert Rackstraw being D.B. Cooper. So when you ask the layman, hey, you know, if the whole topic of D.B. Cooper comes up and said, oh, didn't they solve that? Is that guy Rackstraw, Rackstein or whatever? You know, they just see a good show and they remember it on TV and they're like, wasn't that solved? And they see the media blitz and everything. It's like the people with the money and the TV control the narrative to the person that's not really into the case that knows it that well. It's a really similar thing that happened there, too.
Yeah, but, you know, we have to start taking responsibility instead of always blaming what they see. Because, you know, it's like the Trump narrative again. You know, maybe we should inject and clean it from the inside. If you think about things when you're told or when someone said something or when you see a show, you think about it, you should, you know, you got to have your own thinking skills and kind of go, yeah, that doesn't sound very logical, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Just vet it out, you know, just use critical thinking.
So what do you think is new, Drew, as far as Zodiac, or what do you think that has come up lately that you want to talk about?
Well, actually, you know, in the time since we did the last show, I was, you know, doing my research. I'm looking on a book about D.B. Cooper. It's getting close to being completed. So I got a new newspaper online subscription to where you can go online and read, you know, various old newspapers. And a new one that I started was so much better than the other one. But I started looking, you know, just taking a break from Cooper stuff, you know, started digging around on some Zodiac things. And of course, my book's finished and everything, but I said, well, let me see what else I can find. And I saw a wedding engagement announcement in the Pomona newspaper for Don Cheney. And for any listeners that's not familiar with my person of interest, it's Donald Lee Cheney. He was a friend of Arthur Lee Allen. He's mentioned in the movie The Zodiac, and he's the guy that brought forward Arthur Lee Allen, who's still probably the top suspect on most people's minds in the Zodiac killings, and brought his friend forward in the summer of 1971. And he's my suspect, and I wrote a book on him called Sighting In on the Zodiac Killer. And it's been out for about 3 months now, and that's the book we talked about, obviously, when I was here last time. But in doing some of that research, I found out that Don Cheney was in the Air Force. And I didn't know that before. It had never come up, and, you know, I looked to see if he was in the military, but he was actually in the Air Force for 2 years. And people that research the Zodiac a lot, when you hear Air Force, you're going to think immediately of the Wing Walker shoe print that was left at the Lake Berryessa attack, because a Wing Walker is obviously an Air Force-related shoe for people that work on planes or fly planes, because you got non-slip sole. Some of them have steel toes, things like that. So it makes you conjure up your thing about the Wing Walkers. And also, you see these different shows about suspects that they always try to tie to the military because maybe they had cryptography training in the military. So they're always thinking, okay, Zodiac must have been military or maybe, you know, ex-law enforcement, kind of like Golden State. But it was interesting to me that he does now have that military piece. He was in the Air Force for 2 years. And it was interesting to see some of the stuff that I even found out that he learned when he was in the Air Force. He was stationed over in Harlingen, Texas, and it was in 1957. And I was able to find the complete course listing of what they would learn there. And one of those classes that he took there was called, they called it Night Cell, which is celestial navigation for new pilots. And that immediately made me think of Michael Cole's work, where he thought the Zodiac may have had celestial navigation training or some kind of study, because he tried to line up, you know, in his book about how the Zodiac may have tried to strike on the equinoxes and things like that. And a lot of those dates that the Zodiac strike on weren't exactly lined up with some of those things. So some people didn't really buy into that, but he seemed pretty confident about it. And also the fact that we know that the Zodiac used the compass rose on the Phillips 66 map, where, you know, the Mount Diablo code, and he obviously drew, if the Zodiac target he put in for magnetic north, and that's obviously a reference to navigation. So it is interesting that Don Cheney did have what they call Night Cell in Harlingen when he was trained to be a pilot. So that's kind of an interesting cut in there as well. And so after finding that out, I was, you know, pretty excited, and I wanted to dig into him a little more. And I knew that he had gone to Bakersfield College. Don was born in Bakersfield, California, and he went to high school there and junior college. It was Bakersfield Junior College. So I was just looking through one of the yearbooks, because all their yearbooks are online. All their school newspapers are online. It's called the Renegade Rip. And I was looking at, I think, one of the school newspapers, and I saw the little box on it, and it showed the reporters for the school newspaper. And one name that was on there was Paul Avery. And I thought, surely this can't be the same Paul Avery of San Francisco Chronicle fame that reported on the Zodiac Killer. And I thought, you know, maybe that name's pretty common and it's not him. So did a little more, you know, I knew a lot about Avery, but not a whole lot. You know, just a lot of things people don't know about him that I know now. But I looked up, I knew his father was in the Navy. So I found some kind of really detailed listing of everywhere his father was stationed. His father was a naval pilot during World War II, highly decorated. And he was career Navy, and he would be stationed after the war at different little places. Well, I found where he was stationed in Inyokern, California, which is just next to China Lake. And it was during that same time that I saw this Paul Avery being at Bakersfield College. So I quickly ascertained that that was indeed the same Paul Avery that worked at the San Francisco Chronicle. And then I verified it again by going to the school yearbook. And there on the student council is a picture of a young Paul Avery, probably 18 years old, as a freshman at Bakersfield College. And it looks exactly like the photo that was taken of him, I think, in 1961. When he first started working for the Chronicle. So I thought, what a small world that Don Chaney and Paul Avery are going to the same small little junior college in Bakersfield. Pretty strange. I mean, the classes were pretty small. I mean, I think that it was just freshmen and sophomores. Freshman class probably, this year was, it would have been, actually, both these guys, Don Chaney and Paul Avery, are the same age. Avery was born April 3rd, 1934. And Don was born April 25th, 1934. And they would have started in the fall of 52 when they both went to Bakersfield College. And, you know, because Don graduated there mid-year of 54. So he's considered a 55 graduate, but he finished up in December of 54. So they were definitely there at the same time. Now, I can't prove that they knew each other, but it would be impossible for Don not to have known who Paul was, because Paul was, like I said, he was on the student council, and his exact title there was director of student assemblies. So every time the freshman class would be gathered in their auditorium there, it's called the Harvey Auditorium, Avery would get up in front of the group and say, hey, this is what we're doing this week. Here's some activities that we have. And then they would have like a music act or something that would come on after that. But he would always introduce those things, and it happened every Friday at the college. So he would be a guy that would be extremely difficult for Don not to have known of while being at Bakersfield, as small as it was. So I thought, what are the odds? I mean, even people that don't believe that Don Chaney could be the Zodiac Killer, the fact that two major players in this case were going to the same little junior college in 1952 and 1953 is something to dig into. And I was pretty happy. And then it got even better when I found out what student play production was done in May of 1953 when they were both still there. It was the Mikado. And everybody knows that the Zodiac was heavily influenced by the Mikado, of course, with, you know, you had the Exorcist letter, you had the Little List letter that the Zodiac often quoted from. And that just happened to be the play that they were doing when they were both there. So, you know, what would start as a pretty wild coincidence doubled when I found out that they did that play there, which is really strange. And one of Avery's good friends, Avery actually graduated from Burroughs High School, which was by Inyokern. I think at the time it was called Ridgefield, but they're all right there together, China Lake. There's a naval ordnance station there where Avery's father was working at the time. But Avery's good friend that he graduated with, and they were both groomsmen at a wedding together, his name is Jim Crutcher. And he was in the production. He went to Bakersfield College, too, with Avery. And he had one of the lead roles in the Mikado. He played Nanky Poo, and that was a good friend of Avery. So pretty wild stuff that those guys were in that kind of proximity together that early.
I'm curious. Sorry to make you go back, but didn't you say something about a notice about a marriage for Don Chaney?
Yes.
When was that?
I've seen that was in 1963. Pomona. 62 or 63 in Pomona. And then they also did a full layout in the Bakersfield, California paper for his wedding. He was married in Pomona where his wife is from. And they also did a big layout of the wedding in the Bakersfield, California. And of course, another interesting thing about that is it listed everybody that was at Don Cheney's wedding, and his best man was indeed Ron Allen, Arthur Lee Allen's younger brother, of course. Ron Allen was his best man, which I thought was interesting. And Sandy Panzarella was there as well. I don't know if Arthur Lee Allen was in attendance. They didn't list him. I know they met in, I think, 62. Mm-hmm. But Don did meet Ron first, which obviously that's how he met Arthur Lee Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you come away with this? Like, what's your thoughts then after this?
That's pretty eye opening considering, you know, I'm definitely open to coincidences and I don't try to force things, but that's, you know, I had already built a pretty solid case with Don Cheney. I mean, before I knew three more pretty big facts about him, I have a solid case for him already. And when you find out that the principal guy that was reporting on the murders was going to small college with him as early as the early 50s, there's definitely more to dig into there. And the play was being done. Now, I don't know everybody that was in the play, but I don't know if Don had anything to do with it or not, but there's definitely some very close connections there, such as Don's sister, who was 2 years older. Her name was Patricia Cheney. She got married to a guy named Smith. She went to Bakersfield High School and then went into Bakersfield College as well. But at Bakersfield High, she made all the costumes. She sewed them all for every play production when she was at Bakersfield High School, which is interesting because I think that's where Don learned to sew. When we talk about Barry Essa and the outfit, like, you know, Brian Hartnell said, he said it wasn't just, you know, that Zodiac symbol wasn't just painted on. It was done with care. Don could sew. That's one thing you'll see on, you know, a thing about with different suspects or a profile of suspects. And I like, I think Korsgaard's book goes into that. Like, you wouldn't have the local seamstress doing up your Zodiac outfit for Lake Berryessa. Don Cheney knew how to sew, probably learned it from his sister. I mean, he's good at it. I mean, I have a picture of something he made. Very good with his hands and sewing and creating things. I mean, having all these other little pieces already there just amplify the fact. When you add that Paul Avery is there in such close quarters, may have even been in a classroom with Don that early, there's something there that doesn't make him the Zodiac killer, but it definitely opens up the avenues that the weird dynamics with this case and why it's still not solved after over 50 years could be something that could help someone else. Like, okay, I don't think it was Don, but maybe this connection between the two. And it is odd. Why was Avery selected out? Of course, you know, he made some insults towards the Zodiac killer, but it wasn't until a year after he really hit him pretty hard that he received the Halloween card. You know, so that probably would have died down a lot. And then again, why was Paul Avery the one tipped off about the Riverside, you know, in the slow boat to China letter? There's just some things going on there that need to be looked at in more detail. I mean, that's what I'm doing now, but it's pretty eye-popping. I read a thread from a guy on the internet where he was trying to make a case for Paul Avery being the killer, which I think is ridiculous, but there is something more going on. And when you take the fact that Don... If Don did know Avery that early, and we know he knew Arthur Lee Allen and his particular habits, that's pretty damning. I mean, you know, they say about Arthur Lee Allen that if he's not the Zodiac killer, then he's the most unlucky person in the world because there's so much solid evidence against him. Of course, there are things that point against him, like some of the handwriting, fingerprints, DNA, everything. But there's so much that does point towards him that's so quality that you'd have to say if it's not him, he's the most unluckiest person in the world. So if that's the case with Arthur Lee Allen, then Don Cheney is fivefold the most unluckiest person in the world to have this much against him and not have something to do with these killings. That's how I look at things.
Well, what are the negatives toward Don Cheney then?
Well, the obvious negatives, I mean, the first one would be that, you know, according to Don's own words, that he moved out of the Bay Area sometime pretty soon after January 1st, New Year's Day, 1969, you know, the day after he claims Arthur Lee Allen told him all this stuff about wanting to be the Zodiac killer and going to lover's lanes and what they were going to do and this kind of thing. Well, Don says he moved after that. And of course, only one canonical crime had happened up to that point, which was Lake Herman Road. So Don says he moved. So he moved back to the Pomona, where his wife's from. So, you know, people would say, well, if he created the next three crimes, they were all in the Bay Area, he would have to have driven 6 hours to commit these crimes. So that comes up a lot. Well, it's easy for me to answer. The guy was an avid outdoorsman, avid big game hunter, hunted a lot, and had a lot, you know, from what I could tell by reading a lot of detailed stuff, you know, from another blog from his son, who's never brought up the word Zodiac Killer whatsoever. I'll get that out there. But he did talk about his father when he was younger and where they would go hunting and what they would do. And he would go on these long hunting trips. So for him to go 6 hours to do this stuff is really not a problem for a guy like Don. And we know that the Zodiac crimes happen either on weekends or a holiday. Obviously, the night of July 4th to get at Blue Rock Springs and everything else fell on a weekend. You know, that, so that's one of them. And the second one, most major one someone would throw out would be, well, if Don was the Zodiac, why wouldn't he just leave a piece of Paul Stein's shirt over at Alan's either trailer or his house? He had both, or Paul Stein's wallet. Well, my answer to that is because the game would be over. Because if you found either of those things against Arthur Lee Allen with everything else was pointing against him, it would have been just enough to convict him, I think. With the jury. I mean, we're talking about before the DNA days, even without the fingerprints, and, you know, Allen's already a convicted child molester, that probably been all a jury would have needed. We found a piece of the cab driver's bloody shirt at your trailer. You're gone away. And think about that. If Allen goes down for the killings, the fun's over. We got the killer. What's going to happen now? If you created the moniker of the Zodiac and went to all this trouble and wrote the letters and taunted police, you don't want it to end. You want to kind of keep living the thrill of what you did, which is what I think happened here.
Well, there's also the problem with Don Cheney's ever-changing stories. You know, he originally told police that he thought that this conversation happened, in December of 1967? And then when he was confronted with the fact that he had mentioned that Allen said he lost his job, and Allen had lost his job after that date. So then he changed the date to a year later. And the date was very important because of the timing of the Zodiac crimes. And then I've also noticed that in Robert Graysmith's book, Zodiac Unmasked, which I do not recommend as a fact checker book, but there is a quote in here where he says that he had a conversation with Arthur Lee Allen. He says this conversation took place prior to September of 1966, as that's the month and year I married my first wife. That is why I recall the time easily. I did not see Allen to any great degree, nor go out on hunting and fishing trips with him after my marriage. So the dates are all over the place here. He's having some difficulty remembering this alleged event.
That's true. There's so many factual errors. But the main shift that Don did was going from that Allen originally told him all this stuff about wanting to be in the Zodiac and all this stuff. He originally stated, and it's even said in the movie, it's been a while since I've watched it, but I believe they even say the date of January 1st, 1968.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. And later, Don changed that when he did the documentary. His name was Arthur Lee Allen. That would kind of coincide with the movie. He knew he had a problem with that, so he changed it to January 1st, 1969, to better fit his theory about trying to frame Arthur Lee Allen. Mm-hmm. And we know he's lying everywhere because he said, I went over to Arthur Lee Allen's house on that New Year's Day, 69, and he showed me the watch he got for Christmas. It was a Zodiac wristwatch. It was right. Brand new in the box. And he, you know, he wanted to know, you know, did my mother stiff me, give me a cheap gift? Well, we know from Arthur Lee Allen's younger brother, Ron, that Ron got an identical watch for Christmas, 1967. So
right.
Don's already off on his dates. He's already yeah. making up lies to cover this stuff.
Because so he's trying to make you think that he's trying to say that Allen kept this brand new watch in a box for a year or so and then showed it to him.
Yeah, well, on the video, it would have been brand new. It would have been just, you know, but he did shift it a year. I mean, he purposely shifted that date from for a whole year.
And he never mentioned the watch to begin with. He never mentioned that watch when he was talking to police. He didn't bring it up until years later after it was in a book.
Years later. And we know Arthur Lee Allen never seemed to fear when he was being questioned by police. You know, he never seemed to fear getting caught for these crimes or even falsely accused. He would wear the watch when he was being interrogated by the police. When the police finally did a search warrant on the Fresno Street house, they found guns, which he wasn't supposed to be in possession of because he was a felon. And to this day, they don't know why they didn't at least, you know, confiscate. I don't even believe they confiscated them. You know, they basically just said, well, there's some weird stuff here, but there's nothing tying them to these murders exactly. Mm-hmm. And more importantly is, why was Arthur Lee Allen questioned so soon after the Lake Berryessa attack? Who tipped off the police to go look at this guy just because he was strange? I mean, the Vallejo general area probably had plenty of creepy guys around Arthur Lee Allen's age. Who tipped off the police to go talk to him 2 weeks or so after Lake Berryessa, where they questioned Allen and he said, well, I was going to go to Lake Berryessa that day, but I went up the coast instead. It was like he was waiting for it. Like someone tipped him off. He, not only was he waiting for it, but he knew they didn't have anything on him. It's a good thing to really ponder. Why was Arthur Lee Allen questioned so early on after Lake Berryessa? Just being, you know, fired from Valley Springs for, you know, some inappropriate touching at this point was not enough to put you on the radar for stabbing two people in the back. So that someone tipped him off. And well, it seemed like Allen had some knowledge of it, not to be worried.
Well, and that brings up the real issue, which is why would Don Cheney do this to Arthur Lee Allen?
But you know what I truly believe, and I believe it more even now? I think that they probably had some kind of agreement. I think that Arthur Lee Allen was down on his luck. He got fired from Valley Springs, a job he really liked. And they talked about it one day, maybe about writing a book. You know, there's some little hints of truth in there for what Don says because he's trying to throw people off. But he's, you know, they came up with some kind of plan to do this. And I think they probably had some form of agreement, you know, like Dom was going to be the lead and Arthur Lee Allen was going to maybe, you know, get to be looked at as something other than he was a child molester. And you know, and he was a patsy to maybe Don committing the lead parts of the crime where Arthur Lee Allen was just going to stand by and get some credit for it. But they had maybe some dirt on each other. I don't know. I think I truly believe now Arthur Lee Allen had some culpability in it. I don't think he was the killer. I don't think he was cut out for it. It really isn't his profile, but I think he went along with it to some degree. Now, he did pass a polygraph when he was at Atascadero, and they said it was with flying colors or, you know, things like that. He could have been on tranquilizers, or maybe the questions they were asking him were, you know, directly, did you stab Brian Hart and Ellis Cecilia Shepard? Or I don't know. You know, we don't know, but he apparently did pass that. And we know Don's issues with polygraphs already.
I'm going to bring that up.
There's definitely a dynamic going between the two there that can't be denied. I mean, just the fact to me that how does Christmas with two S's wind up in the Zodiac letters when everyone knew Arthur Lee Allen knew he misspelled words for comedic effect? But the Zodiac seems to know this and wants to put them in there. Trigger Mac, the phrase Trigger Mac. How many people use it? I never know anyone said the word trigger mech for trigger mechanism. And Karen Allen, his sister-in-law, swore up and down that he used that phrase. And another thing that I think back on is Phil Tucker and Phil Tucker's wife with the story. This is, I know this is really hardcore Zodiac stuff for people there, but they recalled seeing a letter with cipher symbols on it in Arthur Lee Allen's room in his basement. He took out a metal box. And they saw papers, and this was before, you know, I think I can't remember. I think it was before that, you know, any of the real Zodiac letters were published. But
no, actually, it was
they saw these. Actually, it was okay.
Yeah, it was like 18,
but
16.
Maybe
months
he was trying to emulate it, but they did swear up and down that they had those, or she saw them. So I'm thinking maybe they played along, but there's just a lot against Arthur Lee Allen that people never can seem to explain away, and Don is the only way to do that. It's the only way that I can see. Or, you know, maybe Phil Tucker had more involved, which is odd. I do remember them asking Don Cheney if he ever knew Phil Tucker, and he said no. I mean, I guess that's possible, but, you know, yeah, I don't know that Phil Tucker – I've never really taken a deep dive into him, but, you know, he's another guy that was around. Oh.
Well, and there's also the theory that Don Cheney may have done this to Allen without Allen's knowledge because – Arthur Lee Allen supposedly tried to molest one of Cheney's children. And that's
right.
Been brought up as a possible motive for him wanting to frame Allen for these crimes. Or at the very least, if Cheney wasn't involved in the actual crimes, that he was trying to implicate Allen and hopefully get Allen in trouble. If you go by that alternative theory about his motives, a lot of what he says and does makes sense. And I always thought it was interesting that, you know, in the police report, it says that when the police confronted Ron and Karen Allen about this, they were surprised that Allen could be considered a suspect. And then when they were told that this accusation was coming from Don Cheney, they said, well, yes, we find him to be a credible person. In the movie, when you see this scene unfold, they say, oh, yeah, Don Cheney probably told the truth. And then they skip to them talking about stuff in the Zodiac letters like Trigger Mech and Christmas and things like that. And they give you this strong impression that they thought that Don Cheney was telling the truth, which, of course, having spoken to Karen Allen years later, she made it clear they never believed that Allen was the Zodiac and they never believed that Don Cheney was telling the truth. They thought, you know, once they heard what Cheney was saying and more of it started coming out, they were very critical of him, largely because they knew of this complaint about the alleged molestation. But in reality, in the police report, it says that they asked about Don Cheney and Ron and Karen Allen said, oh, yes, he's a credible person. And then the very next thing they said was, oh, and you should know that he accused my brother of trying to molest one of his kids. And they always thought that that was a strong motive for Cheney to make up these stories. So if we look at that alternative theory where maybe Cheney wasn't actually involved in the crimes himself, or if he was involved in the crimes and and Allen wasn't aware of all this, that this may have been a primary motivating factor for him to get revenge against Arthur Lee Allen. So what do you think about that possibility?
Well, yeah, we talked about that on the first show, but people that might have missed that one, you know, here's my thoughts on that. First of all, that incident with Cheney's daughter was sometime around, I think it was 67 or so. And this is absolute fact. Don Cheney, by his own admission, stayed friends with Arthur Lee Allen after that incident.
Yes.
He said it was somewhere between, I think, a year to a year and a half. Stayed friends with him. That's a fact. Why would you say, if you were so upset about him doing that, if you were going to frame him for being a notorious serial killer, why could you even stomach being around him for another, even let's just say 6 months?
Yeah.
First thing that makes no sense. And then recall, he doesn't come forward to law enforcement until the summer of 1971 from an incident that happened in 1967. Mm-hmm. That's a stretch. And he carries this narrative going long after Larry Allen's buried in the ground. He keeps the whole train going. Why is that? Just so Don can go get a free meal? No, because Don's living in the glory of what he created. I truly believe it. Touching his some man friend touching his daughter's behind, which is the incident. It wasn't this full blown, you know, what you think about a station. He touched her behind is literally how he even tells that story. You're going to frame him for being a serial killer for that years after the fact. It just doesn't wash.
Well, and Ron and Karen Allen both were clear when they said that Cheney had confronted them about this and that he was very upset. So we don't really have any clear evidence that he did have any contact with Allen after that, other than his story that that Allen confessed to him and told him all this stuff. So it's also possible that that conversation never happened. Absolutely. That if it did happen, it didn't happen when he said it did, and it didn't happen the way he said it did. I go back and forth on whether or not I think Don Cheney has any actual culpability in the crimes, but I definitely believe that for whatever reason, whatever the actual motive was, whether it was motivated solely by this alleged molestation attempt or other things, that for some reason Don Cheney invented a lot of this stuff. And unfortunately, it's taken on a life of its own as gospel truth. You'll often hear people say, well, Allen confessed to Don Cheney before the Zodiac crime, so he must be the Zodiac. And that's where the timing becomes so important, and why so many of the aspects of Cheney's ever-changing story cause problems about his credibility. I mean, he claimed that in later years, not when he first talked to police, but in later years, he told people that Arthur Lee Allen took him to the crime scene on Lake Herman Road. You know, he never mentioned these things before. He started embellishing his story with details that appeared in the media and in the book Zodiac. So it's very difficult to discern what Don Cheney said that was true. But at the end of the day, I don't trust him at all.
Oh, he has no credibility. But one thing that I know by digging into him as much as I have, he is a highly intelligent person. He would always try to tell you how smart Arthur Lee Allen was. But I can tell you, Don was a smart guy. He was on the honor roll constantly at Bakersfield High School. He went to Cal Poly Pomona, which is no slouch, to be a mechanical engineer. Well, when people talk about a suspect, like I'll just throw one out, Donald Lee Bouillac, who got out of prison. I think he had like an eighth grade education or something like that. This guy's not going to be talking about radians and inches along the radians or doing ciphers or even substitutional ciphers. This killer, whoever anyone thinks Zodiac is, has some form of propensity towards mathematics and to some degree. Don had that in spades. He was a pipe stress analyst. When Zodiac would say, I'm crack proof, I think he's talking about pipe stress. I mean, that's what you tried to achieve with pipes, something that wouldn't crack. You know, it's stress resistant. Everything just lines up with what Don already knows, not just because he's in the Air Force, but also that he was an avid big game hunter. I don't know of any other Zodiac suspect. Of course, there's always the one that we don't know of that, you know, wherever he may be, but the ones that we do know about, I don't know of one of them that actually went out in the woods and hunted for days. Don Cheney did. He was highly adept at knives. He preferred carbon steel knives, and he would sharpen them with his whetstone. He would gut clean animals. He would, obviously, the title of my book, Sighting In, that's what he called hunting. He had no qualms about killing larger animals. Maybe that desensitized him, but when you think about Lake Berryessa, and that's always the crime I like to focus on, and what I build it around was, it takes, you know, just if you just want to kill someone with a gun at a far distance or even close up, it's so much cleaner than having two people lay on their stomachs or hog tied like Brian and Cecilia were and stab them with a blade that long. That's somebody that has done this before, either to a human or animal, that has no qualms about it. Don knew knives very well, and he knew how to make leather sheaths for knives. When you have little pieces like that I know for fact and have photos of it, he becomes a huge suspect, even bigger than Arthur Lee Allen, because everything that Allen did, Cheney knew of. Misspelling words, trigger mech, how would he get those things in there? I mean, he has more going for him than anyone like Ross Sullivan or Richard Gajkowski, who they can't even determine if he was in Northern Ireland or Northern California for that matter, and these guys get spun around the washing machine of Zodiac suspects forever, they have nothing like this going for them. And then when you throw in the fact that Paul Avery was in the same little college as him in 1952, it's getting a little bit to where you can't just throw it off on coincidence. And it just happened that the Mikado was done in May of 53 at the same little college. It's starting to take shape in my mind. That's just how I work. I believe in Occam's razor. The most simplest solution has got to be there somewhere with this stuff. There will be anomalies in this case. It's big. It's been kicked around for over 50 years. But I just, the way I see things there, it's damning against Don Cheney, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask you a question then. It seems to me that if you believe that Don Cheney was the Zodiac, then you have to start asking the questions. Did he commit these crimes just to get back at Allen? Were these his first murders, or were there something before that? Because frankly, in my opinion, you know, looking at the murders on Lake Herman Road, the brutality of those murders, the confidence of the killer, it doesn't strike me as someone's first murder, especially the way he just matter-of-factly shoots David Faraday in the head and shoots Betty Lou Jensen in the back as she's trying to run away. It doesn't seem like someone who's panicked. It may not be their first time. So that brings up the issue of whether or not you think that Don Cheney had ever committed a crime before the Zodiac murders, or whether or not the Zodiac murders were simply an attempt to get at Arthur Lee Allen.
I don't think it was. Well, first I will say I don't think it was an attempt to get to Arthur Lee Allen. I really don't. There would have been so many other ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm asking, though, right?
I mean, no, I definitely know what you're asking. Yeah. I do not think that it was an attempt to get back at Arthur Lee Allen. I think he was indifferent. And what that makes me do, think of one other thing. I only found ever in one, and you might know it better than I do, Michael, you can see the case better than anyone, but I think Arthur Lee Allen was only told once, hey, you know why you're being accused of being a serial killer? It was your buddy Don. And he kind of just brushed it off like, oh, Don's crazy. It wasn't this huge rebuke like, oh, he's insane. I mean, Arthur Lee Allen had a much larger rebuke against Ralph Spinelli, who made up, you know, told the whole story about Arthur Lee Allen coming to his office and wanting to do a kill. And then Paul Stein gets shot and he comes back and says, believe me now, that whole story. Yeah. But, you know, he never gives a big pushback against it, which I really think the two are in it to some level together. I think Don was the lead, basically, based on his physical description. Officer Falk, barrel-chested, stocky, and I mean, Don, if you look at Don Cheney now, even when he was younger in 65, he's what I would call barrel-chested. He had the physical description better than anyone. All these other guys are either too big, too skinny. Don was barrel-chested, and I don't know his exact height. He was around 5'10", the best I can tell from other photos I have. But, you know, going back to your other question, do I think he was involved in other murders? You know, I don't know where I come down on that. You know, like Riverside. You know, I lean towards Riverside not being Zodiac, but I haven't really taken a deep dive in it. But I do find it interesting that that's the only time that Arthur Lee Allen missed a day of work at Valley Springs was right after the Riverside murders. I think it was the day after.
Well, there was
Riverside. Was it that? Yeah. Is that correct?
Well, there was a day in between, so we don't. There's a lot of confusion about that, but the evidence seems to suggest that he either showed up for work and then took a day off. But again, you know, the Riverside case is one of those things that you can get lost in, and it can cause a lot of problems if you start attaching it to any theory about the Zodiac case, because we don't know for sure.
That's what I'm trying to state.
We don't know for sure whether it was a Zodiac crime or not. But I mean, just in general, though, I mean, as far as the attitude of the killer at Lake Herman Road and stuff like that, it always struck me.
I would say that. I would suspect that he did. I can't, you know, I wouldn't, you know, like we just said, I can't say if it's Riverside or Donna Lass or anything like that, but I suspect it because I can tell you this about Don. He could easily travel not because of his hunting and just the way he was. And when you look at him, as smart as the guy was, he had a mechanical engineering degree. He never keeps a job for a long time. He becomes estranged from his entire family. They move back to the East Coast to Connecticut when, you know, I think the kids were like, you know, the son might have been 12. I think the daughter was 14 where they live now. And, you know, so he was estranged from them. And he never stays at any job for too long. For some kind of reason, he had an authority problem or something's going on. Because I can tell you one thing. He is highly intelligent, but he can never stay in one place. He's highly mobile. So I think even when he was, you know, living with his wife and his two children, he could get around a lot. I think he would just say, I'm gone. I'm going to go hunting. And he would do that. You know, I was looking at the Kathleen Johns incident again. And I remembered reading again how when Kathleen Johns said, and I don't know if that's a Zodiac crime or not. I don't know. A lot of people are still 50-50. But she said she saw kids' clothes in the car when, you know, the person that tried to kidnap her drove around. She said she could saw children's clothes, and they might have been from the ages of 8 to 12. Well, Don's daughter would have been at 8 at the time of the Kathleen Johns abduction. So there's little things there, but I think he probably did kill before to some, you know, probably did. I just can't say where.
Well, and I also wanted to ask you about something that's kind of, it's always bothered me, the way that Don Cheney has, you know, the timing of events of things with him are very curious and very problematic. And when he claims that, excuse me, when he claims that Arthur Lee Allen told him the story, and then he starts changing elements of the story and things, you know, it casts doubt on him, not necessarily just on Allen. It raises issues about his credibility, because if you have to believe that, you know, he claims that he went to the police in Pomona and talked about this, and then nothing was done. And then a couple of years later, he was talking to Santo Panzarella. And for listeners who don't know, Santo Panzarella and Don Cheney were roommates with Ron Allen during college, or they knew him during college, and that's how Allen met them. So years later, when Don Cheney is working for Panzarella, he starts talking about how Allen told him all this stuff, and it was basically Panzarella who convinced him to call the police. So he seems like he was reluctant, or at least he wasn't, you know, trying to cast guilt or a suspicion on Allen from the start. It seemed like something that he was willing to say to people but wasn't really willing to act on. And that alone is sort of problematic about it, because if you really thought that he was the Zodiac, you know, I've often joked that, you know, if we had a conversation and I said to you, you know, one day I'd like to go out and kill a bunch of people and write letters to the media calling myself the Frankenberry Killer. And then, you know, a year later, you're sitting there reading a paper about a guy who's killing people and sending letters to the media using the name the Frankenberry Killer. Wouldn't some part of your brain register, oh, yeah, I remember that. But Don Cheney didn't seem to be aware of the Zodiac crimes during a time in the Bay Area when it'd be almost impossible to not hear of them. And the thing that triggered him was reading about a story about a machete attack at a campground in Grass Valley, where they had a photograph or a composite sketch of a suspect wearing glasses. And, you know, that's not a look that Allen had at the time, at least as far as I know. But it's a rather bizarre thing to trigger your memory when there are other things in the news which should be triggering your memory. So the whole idea that it took him so long to come forward, that he seemed to need prompting to do it, that he changed his story, that he left a lot of important details out, that he embellishes it years later, you know, either way you look at it, whether Don Cheney was the killer or whether or not he was just somebody who was trying to frame a friend for some reason, there's a serious problem with everything that he said. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't know whether or not he was ever really questioned by police from that angle.
I don't think he was. He never was really even looked at a suspect too hard until he said, I licked Arthur Lee Allen's stamps for him. And everybody said, whoa, you licked your friend's stamps for him? Well, yeah. Well, you know, obviously, how do you look at that, Michael, when he said, I licked his stamps for him? You know, how could that be anything but I'm worried about my DNA showing up? I've looked at that a million ways. How could that be anything different? Because if he's just trying to keep Arthur Lee Allen in play for the fun of it or revenge over the molestation, why would you, you know, he would just say, why, you know, the neighborhood kids licked it, or he just used a water bottle, you know, anything moist will adhere a stamp to a letter. Why did Don specifically say, I licked his stamps for him?
Yeah.
There is no other way I can think of in a million years why you would say that unless you were worried, definitely worried, your DNA was going to show up on those letters.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
Can't think of one. We'll never know, because the DNA in this case, I mean, I know people throw around, well, Don was tested and it was negative, just like Arthur Lee Allen. You know, we know they tested, I don't know why they ever tested the DNA from Arthur Lee Allen's brain, but that's what I've been told. But, you know, and it was, of course, you know, Tom Boyd's information that the DNA on the letter that they had, you know, the Stein letter came from the outside of the stamp. But the DNA is really just a red herring now in the Zodiac case. I don't think we're going to get this Golden State Killer suspect out of the blue from the DNA. I mean, it would be great if we did. I'd love that more than anything. And I'm glad they got the Gold State. That guy was particularly nasty and cruel, but I just don't see that happening here. I mean, but I'd be as happy as anybody. Even if it's not Don, somebody we've never heard of, like, you know, D'Angelo in the Golden State, I would be happy as anybody to have this thing solved. Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people enjoy keeping, but that would be great. I just don't think we're going to get that here. So my opinion is, you know, why not? I mean, don't try to fit the square hole in the round peg or whatever, the round peg in the square hole, but, you know, take some leaps and try to get new information like this. You know, when you find things, I mean, definitely just at least just get them out there. But, you know, that's just kind of where I'm at. And it's just, I just, the way I look at things, I don't see anyone coming close to a better suspect than Don. I don't. And I've studied all of them in depth. You name it. It's not like I just picked one and ran with it. You know, I've looked into all of them.
Yeah, but the ultimate question would be, could Don Cheney be Gary Stewart's father?
It could be. It could be. Gary's kind of thin, though.
Yeah, and would Gary Stewart lick his
He might. Gary might.
That's all that matters.
But,
you know?
but Gary knows the DNA profile.
Well, give me stamps or give me, yeah. Wow, that's quite a lot to think about. We are going to wrap it up as the hour comes close. Do we have a website for you?
No, I'm Drew? Still working on it, but I do have a YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and type in "Sighting In on the Zodiac Killer," you'll find all my videos. And I even have one that's an analysis of his name was Arthur Lee Allen, which will really go into a lot of stuff we were just talking about. And you know, some of the mysteries that Don told. I kind of highlight, and actually all the videos, you'll find a lot of them on there. And of course, some of the D.B. Cooper stuff as well. So when that gets done, I'd love to come back on and talk about D.B. Cooper. And I can assure you, D.B. Cooper and the Zodiac Killer are not the same person. I'm confident in that.
Well, then, what's the point?
Where's the fun in that?
They're not the same. It's no fun anymore. It's Ted
Cruz. Well, it's probably... Yeah, no, don't say that on this show. I get in trouble all the time. It's like, oh, he's giving me a bad time. Not to say that joke anymore. Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. We've had some D.B. Cooper before, so that's always interesting and fantastic. We'll put your YouTube website on our website, so people, if they can't find it, just go to our website and click on it. So... again, thank you. We've had Drew Beeson and, of course, Michael Butterfield.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
The mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.